Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Heavenly Father, as we seek now today to put our minds back into the book of Ephesians, Lord, help us today as we try to make up some ground that we have missed over these last few weeks. And Lord, may the sense of this passage come to us today. May we know the filling of your Holy Spirit. And may we experience its consequences to the praise of your name and for your glory and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage would have been three messages, and today would have been the third. I will attempt to pull together all three of them this morning and realize that there's a lot of detail from the last couple weeks that we'll just be referring to, but kind of skipping over this morning. Maybe after the Christmas season, we'll come back and pick up on those details. In Ephesians chapter 5, the first seven verses, we saw that living out our position in Christ, all of our wealth and riches in Christ, living that out, putting on the new, involves walking in love. Love, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, is the love of God, and it is love which every believer in Christ has. And we are taught that we are to walk in it. Then verses 7 through 14, walking in light, the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, and all that Jesus is, for Jesus is the light of the world, all that Jesus is in every believer. And we are to walk in that. the light of Christ. And then verses 15 through 17, we saw walking in wisdom, making the best use of our time, of every opportunity, according to the will of God, the desires of God, living according to God's desires that are wisdom. Now, practically, how do we continue to do this, to carry this out moment by moment, day by day? That's where we come now in verses 18 through 21. And so the answer is by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, to understand what the filling of the Holy Spirit is, first, there is given to us a contrast at the beginning of verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Quite literally, do not cause yourself to become intoxicated with wine, in which is debauchery. Debauchery or dissipation. The idea of that word is that you have no concern for the consequences of your actions. To be drunken is not to be properly considering the consequences of that. Now, here is a reality in this contrast. You cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit and be drunk at the same time. Not possible. It's not possible. Now, there are instances, for example, Noah became drunken after the flood. But Noah did not cause himself to become intoxicated. Do you know that? Say, well, wasn't he drinking the wine? Yes, but this was the first time after the flood, and many conditions on earth had changed. As you know, lifespans began to decrease. And some of that was because of the change in the atmosphere and oxygenation process. So Noah was not setting out to become drunken. He did not make himself drunken. And he learned from that experience, and he never did it again after that. And some of you have been here, you've heard Dr. McMurtry talk about the science behind that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about choices that people make to become drunken. And when you are drunken, you are being affected. Legally, they call it influenced. Under the influence, you are being affected. There are consequences of that drunkenness whereby you are not in control. Something else is controlling you. The alcohol is affecting you. Now, we'll move on here. There's a lot that we would have said a couple weeks ago in this message about the whole effect and use and abuse of alcohol. There's much about it throughout the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. Suffice it to say, drunkenness is not the proper effect that you want in your life with Christ. It is not. You cannot be drunken and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. That brings us to the command at the end of verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, that is how most of your translations read. Be filled with the Spirit. It probably would be better if the translations read, be being filled by the Spirit. Because with the Spirit, and even though it does have the sense of by, with the Spirit gives the idea of like the filling of a glass with water. Right? The glass is filled with water. And then you get into debates about, well, is the glass half full or is it half empty? None of that has anything to do with what we're reading here at all. Some of you may have heard about the woman that used to come to the altar and come forward at the end of the church service, and she'd cry out, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." And a little boy down in the second row said, "Don't do it, Lord, she leaks." Well, the fact of the matter is, if filling was with the Holy Spirit, and it was a matter of being filled as in how much and having the Spirit in us, we would all leak. And this would not even be helpful to us at all. Be being filled by the Spirit describes better what we're talking about in this passage. The Holy Spirit fills us in the sense of controlling us, influencing us, exercising movement upon us in a way opposite from the way alcohol controls you when you are drunken. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with, controlled with, influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, the filling in Ephesians has to do with the fullness that is Jesus, that is Christ. Do not separate in this passage the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one, and they are all interrelated and involved in this. Remember in chapter 1, verse 23, the church, believers, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay? If you're saved, how much of Jesus do you have? Everything. You have all of him. That's part of your riches in Christ. You have the fullness of Christ in you. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling you. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that can never change. That can never be lost. So that's not the question here. The question here isn't, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, you do. Permanently. Indwelling you. The question is the Spirit of God controlling, influencing your life so that you are enjoying the fullness, the riches that you have in Jesus? In chapter 4, verse 10, we saw that Jesus ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And this is all things in relationship to the church, to believers. In chapter 4, verse 13, the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Our maturity as believers is the maturity of the character of Jesus who is in us. That's spiritual maturity. It is the living out of Christ-like character. So being filled by the Holy Spirit, I've said we don't illustrate that by a glass of water or something like that. Well, how do we illustrate it? The best thing I've been able to think of is a glove. Now, in this illustration, the glove is you. The glove is the believer. Every believer has, in this case, my hand in the glove. The hand in the glove is Christ. The fullness of Christ. You have Christ in you. But what is being filled by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit moves, activates, influences, controls the believer on the basis of Christ who is in you. So, I have my hand in the glove. That's Christ in the believer. And there can be movements and influences. So, the Holy Spirit goes like this. There's movement. And when the Holy Spirit influences, what happens? The glove follows or is affected by the influence. So, if the Holy Spirit is leading and there's one finger, okay, that's the movement of the Holy Spirit saying the fullness of Christ in you is being demonstrated through this one finger. Or the Holy Spirit could go like that and wave at all of you. Okay? Do you get the idea? The Holy Spirit is the life, the power, the movement of Christ. He is Christ, but He is applying the fullness of the person of Christ to you, to your life. Now, if you are being controlled by something else, like alcohol, or like other sins and desires in your life, is that the Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit is leading you, is influencing you to demonstrate who you are in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be being filled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is activating the indwelling of Jesus in you. The tense of the verb has this idea. Be being filled. It's an ongoing, continual present tense, which says, how much of the time should the believer be being filled by the Holy Spirit? The answer is always. Always. All the time. Now, this command could be translated another way. And that would be to make the word spirit a small s. That is to say, not merely referring to the Holy Spirit, but to your human spirit, your heart, your mind, your spirit, who you are in Christ. Be being filled in spirit. With that, you should ask the question, is my heart, is my mind, is my spirit engaged by the fullness of Christ, by the things of Jesus? Or is there something else on my heart, on my mind, in my spirit? You do realize if you are discouraged, if you are going in improper directions in your life as a believer, you are not spiritually full. Your mind is not really engaged with the things of Christ. So this is all about Jesus, the believer, the Holy Spirit, because probably the translation of be being filled by the Spirit with a capital S, the Holy Spirit, is best here. In any case, whether your spirit is being filled by the Holy Spirit, or whether your spirit is being filled in some other way, it still amounts to the same thing, because the Holy Spirit is really the only way it's going to happen, because you do know apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. So that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. So what are the means? That's the meaning of it. What are the means? How are we filled, influenced, controlled by the Holy Spirit? And there are two primary things, and if you get this, you will get the book of Ephesians. And if you don't get this, you'll still be struggling to figure it out. The means, primary means, is faith. believing as a believer all of the riches that you have in Jesus Christ and all that you are in Jesus Christ. We've spent chapters in Ephesians on this, haven't we? Your identity. You are chosen. You are redeemed. You have all the riches. You are a co-heir with Jesus of all of the riches in heaven. You are co-seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, redeemed, forgiven, and that's all Christ. Believe that. Believe that every day. Believe that every time you wake up. Lord, this is who I am. Thank you. This is who you have made me. I am saved. I have eternal life. I have the Holy Spirit. I have forgiveness. I have all of these riches in Christ. And when you believe that, say, well, how often do I have to believe that? The answer is all day. Every day. It's who you are. Come on now. You believe you're something. You believe you're somebody. Now, if you're a believer, make sure that you believe who you are in Christ. And when you do, you are being influenced by the Holy Spirit because you will be living, you will be living out who you really are. Your identity in Jesus. And you yield to that. We won't take the time this morning to look up all the verses on yielding. There are many in the New Testament. The verses on yielding are for believers. If you're not saved, you do not get saved by yielding or surrendering your life to Christ. You get saved by believing, by faith alone. The moment you're saved, you yield. I mean, just imagine, you know, the hand is in the glove, and so the Spirit of God says, okay, wiggle your fingers, say hi to everybody, okay, wiggle your fingers, and the glove says, no. The glove says, Holy Spirit, you can try to control me and influence me and move me all you want to, but I'm not moving. Now, aside from the fact that gloves don't behave that way, but you might. But aside from the fact that gloves don't behave that way, if the glove could behave that way, you would say, I think, That glove isn't very bright. Right? Because the hand in the glove, what's the glove's whole purpose? You know, it's to do what the hand tells it to do. So the glove yields. The believer yields to the influence of the Holy Spirit. You don't yield to the influence of alcohol. But if you do, things happen, don't they? If you yield to the influence of alcohol. Yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's just look at one other verse related to this subject. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word, logos, of Christ richly dwell within you. Now in Colossians 3:16, when you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, the consequences are exactly the same as being filled by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. The consequences are, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That tells us something. It tells us letting the word of Christ richly dwell within you and being filled by the Holy Spirit are the same thing. You cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit apart from the Word of God. Letting the Word of God dwell richly within you is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. The results, the consequences, are the same. So yielding to the Word of God and what the Word of God says is how you are filled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls you, influences you, moves you by the Word of God. Now, this is so important because there's so much discussion about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and even the filling of the Holy Spirit, where people completely divorce it from the Bible. You do know there are many people who think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is some kind of an emotional experience. That being filled with the Holy Spirit means you're supposed to feel something. Well, you might. But being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a feeling. You know, some places people walk in the room and you go, you could really feel the Holy Spirit in the room. Oh? And what exactly was that? I mean, what if what the Holy Spirit was doing was convicting you of your sin? Do you say, oh, that was such a wonderful feeling? Oh? Be careful that you do not equate the filling of the Holy Spirit with feeling or emotion. The filling of the Holy Spirit comes by believing and yielding, not some strange experience of some kind. Now, the consequences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're just looking at the ones in Ephesians. There are more, but we're just looking at the ones here. One of the consequences is worship in relationship to the Word of God. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, this can be personal worship all throughout the day to say Scripture ought to be flowing through us. You know, I can tell you the very second that I knew I was being healed of the coronavirus and what I just went through. I was in the hospital. Yeah, I had a couple days of IV fluids. True. But after that second day, in the middle of the night, oh, I was having a difficult time sleeping for a number of reasons. But difficult time sleeping. And I was just praying. Now, you know, I'm not saying this to boast in any way, but some of you know that I know a number of passages in their original languages, in the Hebrew and so forth. And I began praying and singing in Hebrew from the Old Testament. And in the middle of that, I just knew that the Spirit of God was upon me, working in my life, and I fell right to sleep, and I've been better ever since. That was the filling of the Holy Spirit. That was worship in the Word. And notice the verse says, speaking to one another. So this is not only personal experience. This is what happens when believers get together, isn't it? Worship is the response of Christ in you. Through His Word being expressed to God. That's worship. Worship has nothing to do with, well, look, we have that thing printed in the church bulletin that we're supposed to follow. That's the order of service. That's our worship service. Now, what's there in the bulletin is just there to assist you to let the things of Jesus and His Word flow out of you to God and to one another. That's worship. Say, oh, yeah, worship. I can't think of a more boring word than any other word than worship. How boring. Well, then maybe Jesus isn't in you. Because if Jesus is in you, the release and expression of Him is not boring. It's who you are. The fact of the matter is, if you're bored, it's because you're boring. Speaking to one another in psalms, those are scriptures. Hymns, those are songs based on scripture truth. Spiritual songs, those are things that you tend to call worship choruses and things like that. Directing those, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Why? Because you're being influenced by the Spirit of God. This is a result of being filled with the Spirit. Now, the next consequence in verse 20 is gratitude. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks. And the all things here has to be taken in the context of Ephesians. Giving thanks in all things for the church, the body of Christ, all things that believers have in Jesus. Okay? The Ephesians didn't have the same kind of government and political situation that we have today. I know some of you are saying, I'm having a hard time being thankful for what's going on in government right now. Okay? Do you know what the Ephesians had? They were part of the Roman Empire. They had Nero, for crying out loud. They had Nero, who was putting believers to death. Ultimately, he was the one who had Peter crucified and had the Apostle Paul beheaded. Now, do you think Paul and the Ephesians got up every day and said, "Oh Lord, I thank you so much for Nero"? You know what? I doubt it. And I doubt if that's what Paul's talking about here. I think they prayed for Nero. I think they prayed for his salvation, which, as best we can tell, never happened. But they did give thanks. Paul says, always giving thanks for all things. Because whatever was going on in the Roman Empire and whatever is going on in our situation, that does not change who a believer is in Jesus Christ. That does not change Jesus in you. That does not change all your riches. That does not change your eternal security. That does not change any of it for an instant. Do you have something for which to give thanks? Everything in Christ you have to be thankful for. Say, well, do we just ignore the rest? No, you don't. But you do realize if it makes you bitter, angry, resentful, that is not the fruit of the Spirit either. What's a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Giving thanks, gratitude in the name of Jesus to the Father. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in this indwelling and filling process. It's all together. Gratitude. You know what? In spite of anything that's going on, this should be a great thanksgiving. I say that. We have limitations. Our family can't get together because of restrictions in other states. Okay? Say, well, let's get angry about that. All right, well, I'm not happy about it. But I have much for which to be thankful. Giving thanks is a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And last consequence, submission in the body of Christ, verse 21. Be subject to one another. You know what? Let's come together tonight and let's give thanks together. And let's speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And let's be subject to one another as the body of Christ is supposed to be, because we are Jesus in this world. We're the body of Christ. Jesus is in us. And we should do that in the fear of Christ. So we've covered a lot of ground in a broad way, but this is very important. This filling of the Holy Spirit, being influenced by the Holy Spirit, this is an everyday thing, an every moment thing, and it all flows out of your identity in Jesus Christ. If there's anyone this morning that does not yet have Jesus as their Savior, we invite you to believe upon Him today and be saved. The moment you believe, He and all that is in Him, all His riches and resources, will be in you forever. And you will then have the joy of believing that, enjoying it, and yielding to it every day. And the consequences will be a life of worship and gratitude and love for one another. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that your people have worshiped today. And I pray, Lord, that even now we will respond. If there's anyone who has been hearing, listening, waiting, may for them today this be a day of salvation in which they believe upon Jesus and receive all that is in Him. And Lord, for every believer, may the riches that we have in Christ be lived out by the power of your Holy Spirit every moment of every day. We pray in Jesus' name.